I had planned to go outside after the service so we could all just sort of join hands and look up at the steeple, but decided to do it in here this morning, just not sure what the weather was going to be like. But of course, we are dedicating the steeple to Millie this morning. And I think God sees what we're doing, and I think he's pleased about it. I think Millie sees what we're doing, and I think she's pleased about it. And of course, we see what we're doing, and we're pleased about it too, because we get to do something to honor somebody we love. And as the steeple lifts across high in the air, I think it honors Millie in five ways. And I want to mention those five ways this morning. Number one, I think the steeple honors her because she loved church. She loved church. I mean, she was one that put Hebrews 10:25 into practice. That's where the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. She was always at church. She always participated. She always listened. I like to look at people's faces when I preach. And when I preached about sin, she'd sort of get a little gleam in her eye and said, "Give it to us, preacher. We need it." When I talk about the love of Jesus, oftentimes I'd look back at her and there'd be tears falling down her cheeks because she was reminded of what Christ did for her. When I told a funny story, she laughed and smiled. And when I was slow to finish a sentence, she finished it for me. And I oftentimes had to say, "Millie, just stay out of my preaching." But I think she would be pleased with the steeple because it draws attention and it calls others to the church that she loved so much. And I can't help but wishing that we'd all love it as much as she did, that we were all as faithful, that we'd all come like she did. I can remember toward the end of her life when she was feeling bad, sometimes hardly able to walk, sometimes hardly able to keep her balance. She'd hold on to Brother Earl and they'd come in and take their seat, and she'd sit like a sponge and she would just soak up everything that went on in this place, because she knew, like we need to know, that what goes on in this place, we need. We need to hear the story of Jesus. We need the instruction that comes from this book. We need the encouragement that we get, not only from the Bible, but from one another as we walk the Christian walk. We need the rebuke that comes sometimes from this book to get sin out of our life. We need the fellowship that we enjoy with one another and the love that we have for one another that's given to us by God above. And so the steeple honors her today because it honors the church that she loved. It honors her today because she loved her Savior. Millie's not in heaven this morning, and I believe with all my heart she is. She's not in heaven this morning because she was a good woman. She's not in heaven because she was a good wife. She's not in heaven because she was a good mother or a good grandmother. Millie knew that she was a sinner. She knew that there was a price to pay for that sin. She knew that because of her sin, what she deserved was to be separated from God forever. But she also knew that God loved her. She also knew that God sent his only begotten Son to die in her place. And one day she admitted to God she was a sinner. One day she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. One day she confessed him as her Savior. And that very day, that very moment when she did those things, God did make Jesus her Savior, wiped all the sin off of her record in heaven, and put the righteousness of Jesus underneath her name. That's why she loved to sing the song that we sang as a congregation a few moments ago. "I heard an old, old story about a Savior that came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory." And every Christian ought to be able to, if you realize what you have in Jesus Christ, every Christian ought to rejoice and be able to say, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And the part of that song that says, and all my love is due him, Millie took serious. She loved Jesus. She loved to hear the old story. She loved to sing about it. She loved to tell Jesus that she loved him. I know she told Brother Earl often that she loved him. I know often because I saw her in the hospital and the many times I visited her, she told her children and her grandchildren she loved them. I know she told us often because I experienced myself that she loved us. And I know that she told Jesus and is now telling Jesus, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. The steeple honors her because she loved her church. It honors her because she loved her Savior. Number three, it honors her because she loved heaven. She loved heaven. She loved looking forward to heaven. She, when Jesus spoke in John chapter 14 and said, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Again, that's why she loved to sing that song, O Victory in Jesus, the last verse. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. Heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. And let me tell you something. Millie was not bashful about claiming her mansion in heaven. Brother Wendell sang another one of her favorite songs. Hey, I'm satisfied with a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. And Brother Earl, you know what I'm talking about. She wasn't bashful about claiming that. I mean, she loved that song, and she was looking forward to that mansion that God had prepared for her in heaven. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. For her, it's no longer in someday yonder. But for 104 days, as we count time, Millie's lived in that mansion, and she's walked those streets of gold. So the steeple honors her because she loved her church. It honors her because she loved her Savior. It honors her because she loved heaven. Number four, it honors her because she wants us to join her. Millie was not selfish. She loved to share. She shared herself. She shared her love. She shared her things, and she shared good news. If we could place a call into heaven this morning, if she could pick up the phone in heaven and speak to us today, here's what I think she'd say. Heaven is real. It's so wonderful. It's so beautiful. Words don't exist, as the Apostle Paul said one time when he got to take a glimpse of it. Words don't exist to describe what heaven's like. No pain, no sorrow, no heartaches, no tears, no night. I think Millie sings that little chorus that we used to sing around here sometime. Everything's all right. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right. In my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. And the Bible speaks of it as joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. Full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. And if Millie could speak to us this morning, I think this is what she'd say. Would you come and be with me? Would you come to this place that I am. I can't describe it for you because words don't exist to ascribe it, exist to describe it. But it's more wonderful and it's more beautiful than we ever dreamed of. Would you come and go with me to my Father's house? To my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there is joy, joy, joy. And then finally, the steeple honors her today because, number five, it gives us a chance to tell every single person that's here this morning how to get there. How to get there. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus speaking, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they answered with the only right answer there is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Again, that little song has the answer. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. Now here's what Millie did to get there. Here's what you need to do to get there. A, admit you're a sinner. Bible says we all are. All in Romans 3:23, or in Romans 3:10, for there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the book of James, chapter 2, at verse 10, it says, if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so you may be a good person this morning. I mean, you may have kept all the Ten Commandments except for one. Maybe that one that says, honor your father and mother. Maybe that one that says, thou shalt not lie. Maybe that one that says, thou shalt not covet. The Bible says if we're guilty of breaking one, we're guilty of all. And every single person here this morning, just like Millie was, is a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is what the Bible talks about, spiritual death. For the wages of sin is death. That's being separated from God forever and ever and ever. And so, A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus is God's Son. Believe that He came and died on Calvary's cross in your place. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth or proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, He came and He died in our place. And because He did, God can offer the gift of salvation to every single person. The gift of God, eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then call upon Him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, all you need to do, and by the way, the Bible says today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And all you need to do to call upon Christ. And you don't have to say it with my words, you can say it with your words. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I admit that. I know I deserve the punishment that comes with sin, to be separated from my God forever. But I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you went to Calvary's cross to die in my place. And today, right now, this very moment, I'm asking you to be my Savior. I'm trusting you to be my Savior. I'm trusting you to get rid of all my sin and make me right with God so that I can have one of those mansions in heaven. And the Bible says that if we come to Him, He will in no wise cast us out. No, that if we'll just trust Him with that simple childlike faith that Millie taught us so much about, we'll just trust Him. He'll save every single person that comes. Let me ask you today, whether you're part of the family or whether you're visiting or whether you've come often to this place. Have you done that? Has there been a time in your life where you called upon Jesus? Again, not in those exact words, but in words like that. Where you told him you were a sinner, where you believed in Christ, and you asked him to be your Savior. If you haven't, I'd encourage you to do it today. I don't know of a better way to honor our dear departed beloved sister than for somebody to make a decision to receive Christ. And I'll tell you what, there's no preconditions. There's nothing you have to change in your life before you do it. You have to come just like you are. In fact, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation song that says those very words. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Would you do that this morning? Would you come to the Savior? Would you come to the one who died on Calvary for you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this occasion. Thank you for the opportunity we've had again to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know there's some sitting in this room this morning, there has to be with a crowd this big, that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Holy Spirit, I pray that as you draw them this morning, you would cast aside all their doubts. You cast aside their pride. You cast aside whatever standing in the way from them making the decision to receive Jesus. Whether it's a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter what kind of life they've lived up to this point, you love them. You died for them. And you'll be their Savior if they'd simply come and take the gift of salvation that you offer to every single person. And I pray this morning, Father, that every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this room that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior would, in just a moment, as we stand to our feet, would walk down the aisle and tell us, hey, I'm asking Jesus to be my Savior today. I pray you'd make it so, Father. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.